shoots, and scores! Tomas Hertl hits the jackpot!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! 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 Logan Couture wins it in overtime!
Now, here's your host, Ted Raby.
Shoot. 15 seconds to go in this one, folks. We're back to action. Dumped in by Arizona behind the net. Dubnyk plays it, drops it off to the right. And the final seconds will tick off as the Sharks lift one clear. They will try to get one more shot toward the net. They will not get it. And Arizona dumps it down. The horn sounds. And Aiden Hill is going to get congratulated by his teammates for picking up his second career shutout. And he did it while the Sharks outshot Arizona 33-27. So it wasn't all Phil Kessel, but Kessel clearly is the man of the hour tonight as he scores his seventh career hat trick, a natural hat trick. He has 14 goals on the season, and seven of them are against the Sharks, if my count is correct.
I mean, you know, we held them to 13 shots, two periods, albeit we were down 2-0. I think that, defensively, we had a couple breakdowns and they had a bunch as well. We couldn't capitalize on ours, but then, you know, you spend the whole third period killing. It's very tough, obviously, to catch up. We took a 2-minute trip. We took a 5-minute penalty. We took a 2-minute for flipping it out over the glass. And then obviously we challenged a goalie interference, which at that point in time, you have to. It's, 3-0, it's pretty well over. 2-0, maybe you give yourself a chance pulling the goalie. So it was a big turning point. And just, you're not, when you spend the whole third period killing, you're not going to have a chance to catch a game.
All right. Good morning, everyone. How are we doing? Yeah, that was rough once again. And it just speaks to the overall frustration level with where you might be with the Sharks right now, because coming into this, you're rolling with a full head of steam after two big wins over the Kings, and you think to yourself, you go in against Arizona, you're not going up against their two best goalies because they're dealing with injury issues, and you think this is a great opportunity to take those next steps, and the Sharks just overall come up well short and get shut out after a night in which you felt that they were going to come back with a big-time emotional response. And I felt the Sharks did play with greater intensity, did play with greater engagement, did play a better game, but they simply weren't good enough and they weren't finding the back of the net. And, we can do all the technical breakdown we want. We can get into penalty kills. We can get into goals that should not have counted. But ultimately, it's about finding the back of the net. And considering the Sharks were going against their third string goalie for two consecutive nights, to walk away from this series with just two goals, to walk away with no wins, no points, it's frustrating as all get out. I mean, it's a hell of a time for the offense to go cold, right? And I'm sure the Sharks are trying to figure out why exactly they didn't have any offense over the course of this series. And I mean, the generation was significantly better than it was a night before, but ultimately, was it good enough? Were the shots dangerous enough? Were they high danger chances? And it ultimately felt like no. It felt like the Sharks were not getting those second and third chance opportunities that were going to allow for sustained offensive zone possession and really allowed them to put the Coyotes on their heels a little bit. It felt like the Sharks were very similar to they were in the first game of this series, just one and done. And if you're one and done, you're not going to find many opportunities to pull the goalie out of position, to pull defenders out of position, to get a rebound, to get a redirect, to get whatever you need in a game or series like this in which offense is going to be hard to find. And I don't know if that is because of what Arizona was specifically doing defensively or how Hill was able to stop the puck and was not giving up any juicy rebounds, certain shot blocking skills that Arizona was putting forth. But I do know that the Sharks simply didn't do enough to get the wins offensively. I mean, Devan Dubnyk, it's a 2-0 game. It should have been goalie interference and it should not have been 3-0, but you're 2-0 and then you have a third where half of the period you're essentially on the kill. You've done enough to put yourself in a position to win. Even a 2-0 game, that means your goalie has done enough. Your defense has played pretty well. Your goalie has done enough in both games of this series. You should be able to win that game, and the Sharks were unable to do it. And, my assessment going into this series was that the Sharks were better than Arizona, but I don't think that is accurate anymore. And I think the Sharks, they are better than Anaheim. They are better than the Kings. But in 3 out of the 4 games that they've played against Arizona this year, they have lost. And they're going to have 4 more opportunities against Arizona to prove me wrong. But right now, St. Louis is better than the Sharks. And I thought, and I was erroneous in thinking that the Sharks were better than them. But if you can't beat their third string goalie for two consecutive games, you can't make that argument. Now, you look at the standings right now, and it's not over. I think that's something that we need to address, and I think that that's something that the Sharks are mentally right now addressing, that it is not over, quote-unquote, but they certainly didn't make their lives any easier last night. They have played 33 games, 13 wins, 16 losses, four of them overtime losses, 30 points. After two games, they are still 7 points back of St. Louis. They do have one game in hand on St. Louis, but now Arizona, following these two wins and 4 points against the Sharks, they sit in fifth place. They have one more loss than St. Louis, and that's why they are back of them. They have played one more game, but both those teams have 37 points right now. So the Sharks did not make life any easier for themselves, but there is a lot of hockey left to play. I will readily acknowledge that. And that was one of the things that Mario Ferraro talked about in the postgame, was just there is no quit for the Sharks right now. And even if life is difficult, it feels like they are going to continue pushing forward.
Well, it's far from over. Yeah, we're still going to make a run. There's a lot of hockey left. You know, you take losses, you know, this shouldn't break you down. So, we lost these two. That's, you know, got to learn from it, put that past us. But there's a lot of hockey to play, so we're not out of this thing. We have that mindset to, you know, keep battling and start getting on a run, start generating it again. Just because we lost these last two games doesn't mean it's over. So we're going to keep our positive mindset and keep battling and hopefully find ways to win here down the stretch.
And while mindset is not the be-all, end-all, it was nice to hear something closer to indignation from Mario Ferraro when asked about whether or not the Sharks are still going to make that push. Because it's not going to get any easier. That's not to say that the second half schedule isn't a little bit more friendly to the Sharks, but this next two-game series, albeit back at home, it's against one of the surprises of the league in Minnesota, Monday night and Wednesday night, and that is a continuation of a schedule which once again comes at them fast and furious. You know, we haven't seen the Sharks play Minnesota for a long time. When they did play, that was a different Minnesota team that had not entirely found their groove as of yet, and now they've been humming along as one of the best teams in the NHL. They are 8-2-0 in their last 10 games. And they're above 500 on the road, 8-7-1, and they're coming off three straight wins. This is a good team. I cannot judge how we saw them earlier against the Sharks. It's going to be a different look. But if I am being realistic, and that's all that I can really be at this point, if you have a Monday night and Wednesday night at home against the Wild, one of the best teams in the NHL as of late, you got to look at splitting that series. Then you go back out on the road against LA Friday and Saturday night on the 2nd and 3rd of April. You've got to win both those games. The Sharks have looked better than the Kings. Even if you're on the road, they did it against Anaheim on the road. If you were on the road against the Kings, you still got to take 2 out of 2 there. Then you come back home on the Tuesday night, you host Anaheim, and then you host a Friday and Saturday nighter against the Kings. Got to win both those games. Then the next week, Monday and Wednesday night, 2 against Anaheim. You got to take both of those before you go back out on the road for 2 against Minnesota and then 2 against Vegas. Split the series with Minnesota on the road, try and get your first win, and split the series against Vegas on the road there as well. The nice thing about this schedule this year, and it's easy for me to say because I'm not the one chugging up and down the ice every other night, it seems, is that you don't have much time to dwell on a bad performance. You got to be right back out there. The Sharks have an off day today, and then on Monday night, it continues right back up with the Wild. And if there's any reason for me to be hopeful about the Sharks going forward, beyond the obvious in terms of their core veteran group that they have, it's that the defense and the goaltending have not been the issue. It's not like the Sharks have been collapsing defensively. It's not like the Sharks have been just completely skated off the ice. I mean, that's really only happened a couple of times this year, and the team that did it to them, the Avs, it's one of the best teams in the league. But the defense and the netminding, that's taking care of business. Martin Jones has vastly improved his game, and I hope that's something that consistently stays with us. You're looking at last night again, Devan Dubnyk, after not playing for a couple of games because Martin Jones had been on fire. Dubnyk comes in and plays a good game, and it's 2-0 before goal that, again, in my opinion and Devan Dubnyk's opinion, should not have been allowed. That is a good performance from Devan Dubnyk. Is the defense doing enough? The answer is yes. Is your goalie doing enough? The answer is yes. Even the Sharks' penalty kill, you think about how long they were on the kill last night, playing pretty well. The problem right now is the offense. The problem right now is the power play. Both of them are looking not what they should be. And even though Bob Bugner is flipping lines around and trying to find things that work, you got to find more guys contributing. I mean, Ryan Donato, he's only had 2 goals as of late. And I know those came in, you know, rapid fire succession. He's got to be more of a contributor. Timo Meier has to find his game. He's got to be more of a contributor. I think that when we talk about the younger guys, some of the looks that we get from Balcers, from Leonard, they have to be more on point. They have to be more on frame. You got to put those pucks in the back of the net. You cannot miss golden opportunities. Same thing can be said about Gambrell. I know he's had a couple of shots where he's missed a relatively open net, and it's always easier for us to say, right, because we see the vantage point from TV, and we look at this and say, oh, come on, he should have made that. There's a million factors of why guys don't make it. I'm not trying to keep that from my overall acknowledgement of how difficult life is out there on the ice for guys in the NHL, but you need to bury these chances, because if the Sharks are not going to create as many chances as they should be creating, if they're not going to get these second and third opportunities, rebounds, you know, chances, sustained offensive zone possession, they need to make sure that they're on point, they're accurate. And it is an oversimplification, obviously, to say the offense needs to score, because I think we all know that you need to outscore the opposition in the NHL if you want to get some wins, but it is literally that easy, right? I mean, you do not have to be some X's and O's wizard to determine right now that the Sharks' offense is the weak point. They did their job defensively against LA. They did a pretty decent job defensively against Vegas in one game in that series. They did their job defensively against Arizona. If we go back to the 8th of April, which I believe is when the Sharks started playing better hockey, you saw them beat St. Louis 3-2. That's a good performance from your defense. You beat Anaheim 6-0. Quality performance, defense, netminding. You beat Anaheim 3-1. Again, quality from your goalie and your defense. You lose to Vegas 2-1. You're doing your job. You're giving yourself an opportunity to win. The 5-4 loss to Vegas, that's a different case. Then you have a 2-1 win against St. Louis in a shootout. Again, you gave yourself an opportunity. Your defense and your goalie did their job, followed by a 5-2 loss to St. Louis. That one got away from them. But then a 2-1 win over the Kings, and then a 4-2 win over the Kings. And then last night, it's 2-1 entering the third, and you feel like you've given yourself an opportunity to win. And then last night, it's 2-0 entering the third, and you once again feel like you've done your job. Or at least you've done your job on the defensive side of things. And it can't just be Couture and Kane and Hurdle. It's got to be more production across the board. You need more from Burns. You need more from Carlson. You need more from Meier. I mean, you go down the list, and I don't want to be a broken record here, but these guys need to make plays happen. And I know that Brent Burns has been more sound defensively this year, and he's been piling up the assists. But a big part of his game is the offensive contribution. Same thing for Erik Karlsson. I'm not going to ignore the fact that his defense has been better and he's been able to be a part of the Sharks' uptick in defensive performance. But a big part of why you sign Erik Karlsson is because of what he can do offensively, the contributions he can make, the way he can distribute, the way he can set guys up, the way he can pass. That is a huge part of his game and why he is so valuable to have on your team. You need to be able to maximize that, especially when you're a team like the Sharks right now, which does not have the top-end talent across the board. And one of the consistent themes for the Sharks this year is that it seems that when they solve one problem, another one comes storming back up and reveals itself. And we've seen the Sharks, you know, when the offense has been more aggressive, then they seem to bleed goals a bit more. And now when the defense is better, they're not finding their offense. And they've got to figure this out, right? Because they are running out of games. It is not over. We are acknowledging that they still have a lot of games left to play, and there is a lot that can happen in a short amount of time in the NHL. But they are not making life easy on themselves by not getting their offense humming in two of the biggest games and the biggest series of the year up to this point, which was against the Arizona Coyotes, again, with their third string goalie. Now, anybody that has the ability to be out there in the NHL, kudos to them. Obviously, they are much better than any of us. But it's still their third string goalie. It's still not on par with what that team has on a night-to-night basis. If you can't get it done against that guy, then you can't get it done against Arizona in general. I mean, this guy has played 38 NHL games over the course of his career, and he's been good. He's got a .910 save percentage, averaging 2.73 goals against, but it should be somebody that you're able to find more than 2 goals over 2 games against. At least it is if you fancy yourself a team that is going to make that push into the playoffs. And again, the Sharks all view themselves in that mindset. They all think this is still a push, and I am fine and happy with that mindset. But if it doesn't translate into a greater performance against a third string goalie, then you're going to have trouble. And that's why, once again, we are looking at the next biggest series of the year for the Sharks. We are beyond the halfway point. We have an idea of where the Sharks have been up to this point and what they are potentially capable of. And it's going to take better offensive performances. And you're going to have a tough time in these next two games against Minnesota. But I do take solace in the fact that we can look at this and say it is the next biggest series of the year for the San Jose Sharks. Because if they do split this series against Minnesota, if they do look at a loss from Arizona or a loss from the Blues, if they do win this series and take 2 out of 2 against Minnesota, you feel like things are still possible. And as long as things are still possible, it keeps us more engaged. It keeps the team more engaged. It leads to an overall better product because they're fighting for something as opposed to just knowing that things are getting away from you. Right now, they can still view the carrot at the end of the stick. They have that big motivation in the grand scheme of things. It's make the playoffs, push for that fourth place position, see what you can do to give yourself a fighting chance. That's where the Sharks' mindset is right now. And if it wasn't, they wouldn't be putting forth such good defensive performances, right? I mean, that would be where things get sloppy. That would be where you see the team playing outside the system and not committing on defense because everyone would start to play hero hockey. But right now, they're still bought in. They're still trying to play that hard defense. They're still doing the dirty work to give themselves an opportunity. Both these games against Arizona, they had a chance to win. Now, we get to see if that is still the case against Minnesota. Again, this is not going to be easy. This is a very good team that has been on fire as of late, but you've got them at home. And again, you need to be playing for your playoff lives. You need to be playing for your season. That's how it's got to be with every single game from this point out. Now, I acknowledge guys have been beat up. Guys have been banged up. I think Logan Couture is still hurting a little bit from the hard hit that he took a couple nights ago. I think that's one of the reasons why he was not particularly popping off the ice in this series. I acknowledge that it's not just about looking at things in a vacuum. One game doesn't exist as one game. It is very much impacted by the 30-plus games that preceded it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we are going to hear from Devan Dubnyk in his response to a non-call on goalie interference and also head coach Bob Bugner's reaction to the game misconduct to Curtis Gabriel. You're on Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Coors Light wants to help you catch a Sharks game from the best seats in the house. Just share a photo of your Sharks at-home game setup to sjsharks.com/homeice for a chance to win Coors Light Silver Seats tickets, Sharks gear, and more. Winners will be chosen weekly, so post a pic showing how you watch the Sharks to sjsharks.com/homeice today. 2021 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Must be 21 or older. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Yeah, obviously, we are taking it in sort of weekly segments right now, and we had a great start. And, you know, even coming in here and getting splitting would have been 3 out of 4. You felt good about yourself going home. But, there's a lot of work to remain, a lot of games. And, it's a little bit of a blow, but there's nothing we can change now. We got to go home, and we got to concentrate on trying to win a couple home games here against a pretty good hockey club.
That is head coach of the San Jose Sharks, Bob Bugner, bringing us back here on a Sunday morning on Morning Tide. There is no quit in this San Jose Sharks team. I will give them that much. And while they may not be coming off their two best performances of the year, having been swept in two games by the Coyotes, the San Jose Sharks still do have a puncher's chance. They are 7 points back of St. Louis as well as Arizona, the fourth and fifth teams respectively in the NHL Honda West Division. This is not over. There is a lot left to go, but the San Jose Sharks right now have not made life any easier on themselves, and they have a big two-game series coming up with Minnesota, who again has been on fire. That means you need the breaks to go your way. Obviously, that was not what happened in this series against Arizona, particularly when it came to the officiating. Schmaltz, a very dangerous hit, gets 2 minutes in the box, albeit the next day receiving a fine from the NHL. Curtis Gabriel, he gets a major and a game misconduct.
We didn't have a great view of it from the replay. I saw it on the Jumbotron. I haven't really looked at it since I got in. I just, again, the refs have a tough tough job here. But I saw one went down last night with a hit from behind by Schmaltz, which was a 2-minute penalty, putting a guy headfirst into the boards. And then I saw this hit, and it doesn't look as near dangerous. So, you know, I think because of who Gabes is, probably didn't get the benefit of the doubt. And I was surprised it was a 5. I was really surprised, but, you know, definitely was a penalty for interference, I would think, at most.
And Bugner expounded upon the explanation he was given.
I asked him what the difference was, and he said it was interference. And he said there is a call in the book that you can call the major on an interference call. So, you know, that was his thinking behind that, I guess.
And then there was the goalie interference call, or the call that should have been. Devin Dubnyk.
I think it's a joke. I think both. I think both games, very frustrating. I don't think the one on Joldy should have counted last game. I think anybody watching that play has any sort of idea about playing goal knows that as soon as that guy touches him and his shoulders are facing the other way, he has no chance to make the save. And that's what goalie interference is. And he was in his crease, unprovoked skate through. And tonight I was told that was Bill Kessel's follow through, continued motion of a follow through, which you guys watched the play. I watched the play a bunch on the Jumbotron. If you were going to sit here and honestly tell me that that's the guy's follow through, that's tough. And, you know, if he would have shoved my pad into the net with the puck underneath it, would it have counted? And if the answer is no, then the answer is I shouldn't have counted either. So it's frustrating to me. But, you know, ever since the goal interference review has come into the league, I found it pretty inconsistent. And unfortunately, it kind of stops the referees from making any calls on the ice because they're kind of relying on the review process, which, you know, I'm not going to be the only guy to tell you that it's been a little frustrating from the goalie side of it.
Devin Dubnyk is a level-headed, balanced guy, and he doesn't choose his words lightly there. I think that he is expressing the frustrations from not just his point of view, but probably the point of view of many goalies that he's talked to around the league. And again, it's just the inconsistency is what people get ticked off about, right? It's not that the call goes against their specific team. It's that they don't know what the call is going to be from one game to the next. I mean, it's not just with goalie interference. It's with the application of a major penalty or a game misconduct, which we saw earlier in this game. Or it's the comparison to earlier plays that we've seen across the board, across the league in this season. There is an inconsistent application of the rules, and you don't know what to expect. And it's not just the NHL, by the way. This has been the NFL's biggest bugaboo. I mean, try asking anyone to define what a catch is. It's like trying to define what a strike is in Major League Baseball. And these are just very obvious rule examples of what we're seeing in different sports. But this is a very, very real issue that the NHL has to deal with. It's not so much that you feel that the refs are biased against you, because I think arguments like that are out of the world. And you're just looking for somebody to blame. I mean, believe me, as a fan, those instances, throw a rock in the air. It's going to hit someone guilty from your viewpoint. But overall, it's just the inconsistent application. You feel that as a fan, you cannot see one instance in one game and feel that in the exact same instance in another game that the same penalty is going to be applied, or the same discipline, or the same fine, and on and on and on. The lack of consistency is what drives people crazy, and it also seems to be what is driving Devin Dubnyk crazy, because again, he gave a long, detailed answer about his point of view and how the application of the rule is going to go. He disagrees with it, and it hurt the Sharks. It's a 2-0 game at that point. A comeback for a win seems unlikely, but you might be able to salvage a point out of that if you can send it to overtime. If you can send it to overtime, anything can happen. But a 2-0 game that turns into a 3-0 game and puts you on what feels like a never-ending penalty kill, good luck, right? I mean, that's not an easy thing to deal with. You are being put in a very, very difficult situation, and the challenge was the right call from Bob Bugner. Devin Dubnyk agrees with it, and I'm willing to bet that if we go and talk to the fraternity of goalies around the NHL, they are not going to look at that in an instance of, well, he's a Shark, or he's a St. Louis Blue. It doesn't work like that. Goalies, they're interesting characters, and they also stick up for each other because they know what it's like to be on the receiving end of the application of a rule that they do not agree with. But beyond this specific scenario, overall, I am encouraged by the fact that you've been getting quality performances from Martin Jones and Devin Dubnyk. The score is not entirely indicative over these past two games with regard to the effort you got from those goalies. But the real question now is going to be how the Sharks digest and process the frustrations that come out of this series. You had just done so much so well against LA, and you felt you gave yourself an opportunity in each of these games against Arizona, only to walk away with 0 wins and 0 points, especially when you felt like you outworked the opposition, but you just weren't getting the reward. Devin Dubnyk.
Yeah, you know what? It's something you try not to think about. I think it's, you know, it maybe get frustrating if, you know, we're not playing the right way or turning pucks over or doing things, you know, just not getting any chances on the other net. But, you know, you watch the first period, I think we weren't happy with our game last night, and we came out, we were firing pucks, we were working, we were getting pucks back and putting lots of pucks in the net. There were lots of things laying there, you know, you just don't know, there could have been a bounce that changed the momentum of the game. So when the guys are working like that, you can't be frustrated. You just gotta work hard and try to limit the amount they get.
And bad losses are going to happen to any team, but this wasn't a bad loss. This was a game where you felt like you did everything the right way. And maybe it was not the greatest energy performance from the Sharks we've seen all year, but they were making things happen. They were giving themselves opportunities. They just couldn't capitalize upon those opportunities. And the bad losses, you know, you lose 5-0 or something, you can blow that off pretty quickly and move on to the next game. But like the Sharks have had this year, there have been a lot of close losses. And I think those do wear on a team. And I think there is just the mindset of what does it take? And if the reward doesn't come, or if it's not equal to the effort, that is when teams can start playing outside the system and can start getting away from things. There's a lot of scenarios where teams can get away from what they're supposed to doing, from what their coaches want to be doing. But that's what, again, continues to give me hope with the San Jose Sharks, is they're not playing outside the system. They're not overall just abandoning everything and every man for himself. But I do think, as Kevin LeBanc pointed out in the post game, there is some gripping going on.
Yeah, guys are, you know, definitely holding on, gripping their sticks a little too tight. But I mean, one way to kind of get out of that situation is, you know, you just keep working hard, and, you know, next thing you know, you get a puck bounce off, it goes in the net, you feel good, and you're off to the races, and everything you shoot goes in the net. So I think we competed hard today. Everyone was on the same page. We came out hard in the first period, and then second period, you know, we were getting shots through, getting chances. And then the third period, you know, kind of things fell apart. But we battled hard today. And, you know, that's what we have to bring every single night.
And building upon that, Bugner was asked if he was in favor of the Sharks' shot selection.
Well, I thought, you know, our game plan was to generate a lot more offense by getting the puck to the net and then trying to find that second and third. And Rudy had a breakaway, you know, Timo had a half a breakaway, and this is in the first period. Kaner had a half a breakaway in the first period. I thought we had a couple little slot shots. Again, our power play generated. We just didn't, you know, do a good enough job, I guess, pouncing on rebounds. But, you know, we had traffic, we had people around the net, and, you know, until I review it, I'll know, you know, what the chances look like a little more. But, you know, I was happy with the way we came out and the way we played in the first and even the second. We just had nothing to show for it.
So the team is still emotionally bought in. The team is still invested in what Bob Bugner is selling. And I think that overall, again, gives you hope that this can build towards this push. And you've won 2 out of 4. And that's really where the Sharks have been all year. It's 2 up, 2 down. I mean, the early indications we saw from the team was it was a step forward and a step backward. And you would like to think that they can build upon that a little bit more, but it takes an entire season to write the story. You have to see where this goes. And I think the Sharks have shown more signs of life. They have had a 3-game win streak. They have had now another 2-game win streak. They are making improvements on the ice. The defense has improved. The goalies have improved. Right now, the offense is the issue. And I think that if that can all click, you give yourself a fighting shot. And it's not easy for the San Jose Sharks in any way, shape, or form right now. They have made life difficult for themselves, and it was going to be difficult regardless. But it's not over as of yet, and the guys seem to be buying into that mentality. That doesn't mean they're going to make it. That doesn't mean that the play is going to be on par for the rest of the year, but I would prefer to be in this situation right now than one where it looks like all is lost and you have nothing to fight for and nothing to compete for. That's not where the Sharks are right now. Might be where they end up, but for the time being, there is still a lot on the line for each and every following game. All right, that wraps it up for this edition of Morning Tide. I will see you all on Tuesday morning for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.